Well, we thank the Lord for just blessing us to be in worship, going to hear his word. I want to share with you a message from the 40th Psalm. The 40th Psalm, we're still talking about the power of confession. Psalms 40, I want to talk on the testimony from the pit. A testimony from the pit. Psalm 40, beginning with verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings, and he has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. I wish you would look at somebody and tell them, I'm going to get a testimony. Look at somebody else and tell them, I'm going to get a testimony. Amen. You never get a testimony unless you've been tested. And sometimes it happens in a pit. You may be seated. Father, we thank you again for your mercy and your grace. We ask that you would now feed us from your word. Lord, it is the spiritual manna that we need for our lives. It is what sustains us and gives us strength to face not only the challenges in life, but to also triumph, to gain the victory, to know that you are Lord. God, we worship you today. We praise you today. We honor you today because we know that you are God. And Lord, I thank you, even though you didn't give us everything we wanted, but you gave us everything we needed. And God, most of all, we needed you. Thank you for that. Change our hearts by what we hear. And change us for thy good and for thy glory. In Jesus' name, amen. What are we talking about when we say the power of confession? What are we saying? Well, first of all, we're saying that confession keeps you from saying or speaking negative things. When you have a good confession, it keeps you from saying or speaking negative things. They made me so mad I could have died. Think about what you're saying. Or somebody makes you sick. You need to confess the truth. You need to confess positive things. Yes, people might irritate you, but be careful what you say. Be careful how you communicate that. And then secondly, when you have a good confession, talking about the power of confession, it prepares you for opportunities. It prepares you for opportunities. You would not be where you are today if God had not opened up the doors of opportunity and provided for you. Now, he gave you strength to do certain things, but he also opened up the way with opportunities so that you could take advantage of that. Amen? We'll share a little bit more about that. But then also, when you have the power of confession or when you confess God, it produces the first fruits. You're not there yet. You haven't arrived at where you need to be, but it gives you the first fruits so that you can offer that to God. Lord, I thank you that I'm not where I used to be. Not where I want to be, but I thank you that I'm not where I used to be. You're saying, Lord, I'm journeying. I'm preparing for something greater. I want my life to count for something in this world. And so it produces the first fruits of a future harvest. Then the fourth thing, it is a response to what God has said to you. Many people think that you can think of something good and it's going to happen. God has to plant that in your heart and reveal that through his word so that you can then move forward with your life. When God plants that in your heart, when you start realizing that the Lord is your strength or the Lord is your shepherd, God is your provider, he is your very present help in troubled times. When you start confessing that, you're saying what God has already revealed to you. What we're doing is we're confessing what CNN says. We're confessing what Fox News says. Or we're confessing what somebody has tweeted. Well, tweet this. Jesus is Lord. He's the sovereign God of grace. And he's the one that has brought us this far. And if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, where would we be? So what we're doing is we're talking about the power of confession. Now, notice what's happening in this psalm that we're talking about. The psalmist David, he's in a situation that he can't change on his own. But he's not getting an attitude about it. He's not getting angry or upset about it. He starts it by saying, I waited patiently. I waited patiently. Now, I can tell you that I've got problems with it. I'll wait, but I may not wait patiently. I'll generally pace the floor while I'm waiting. I may get mad at somebody because I think it's their fault while I'm waiting. I've got to learn from this. I've got to learn to wait patiently because the Lord's ear is open. You may seem like you're beyond the reach of his hand, but you're not beyond the reach of his ear. That's why we often sing, I love the Lord because he heard my cry and pitied my every groan. If you start understanding that God Almighty is almighty and that there's nothing that he can do, but he allows you to go through circumstances in life so that, number one, you don't get puffed up. You don't start bragging about yourself. Look at what I got. Look at who I am. One thing about trouble, trouble will shut you up. Trouble will make you, nobody has to tell you, go to your corner, go to your room. Trouble will make you shut up. It'll make you focus on what's really important in your life. Let's look at this thing and let's see if we can gain this heart of confession by confessing our attitude even while we're in a situation that we don't like. And you're going to find yourself in this life going through situations that you don't like. But that's where you get your testimony. That's where you learn who's in control, even when it seems that life is out of control. We read in the response of reading about the omnipotent God, this all-merciful God, this all-powerful God that we're serving. Let's see how he works in the life of the psalmist as we go through this verse. First of all, there's the reality of the pit. There's the reality of the pit, and not just any kind of pit. We're talking about a horrible pit. Any of you all been there? Where the worst thing that you could think of has happened? The situation that you thought would never come your way has come your way and landed right square in your lap. And you're asking yourself, what am I going to do about this situation? Now, it's one thing to have a problem on top of the mountain. You can then see, but when you're down in the pit, your visibility is limited. Amen. Do I have a witness? Amen. All you can see are the things that surround you. Ah, but I didn't think I was going to go to the praise, Joe, this early. But you know what? When you're in a pit, you can look up. When you're down, you don't have to look around you. You don't have to look down. You can look up. And what the psalmist did, he looked up. And not only did he look up, but he called up. He called up heaven. He called on the Lord. And he said, the Lord inclined. It's one thing. Now, I'm having some hearing difficulties, Carolyn. And so what I have to do when people are talking to me, they have to talk in my right ear. Because my left ear don't hear so good. So whenever you're talking to me and I'm turning my left ear, well, you get the point. You must not be. But the reality of the pit is to recognize where you are and to also know that God recognizes. He knows where you are. He knows what you're going through. One of the things about Jesus, when he came down to this earth, he took upon him the flesh that we live in. He knows the human experience. He's walked the path. He's walked at what they call the Via Dolorosa, that way of sorrows. As the Bible says, he was more marred than any man, scarred from the circumstances of life. He knows what it's like to be down here. He knows what it's like to be hungry. He knows what it's like to have your friends turn away from you. He knows what it's like to tread the wine press all alone. He knows. So never go to God and think that God doesn't know. He's been there. He's been through that human experience. And yet he tells you and he tells me there's something that you can do about your pit. No doubt there's some of you this morning that are going through a circumstance that you wish would hurry up and pass. But you wake up every morning and along with the new day, it seemed that the problem might be getting just a little bit worse. But if you would you please hang on for just a few minutes? Because I'm telling you that God is working something out while you're in the pit so that when you get out of the pit, you'll be able to say, the Lord hath done great things for me, whereof we are glad. A lot of times when people are going through these pitiful situations, not only are they in the pit, but the pit is in them. I grew up on the farm, and we used to take tobacco, and we'd put it down in a pit so that the leaves could get soft, and then you could be able to prepare the tobacco for market. You had to sort it, and you had to wrap it, and all of those things. I know you country folk, what? Yeah, we had to do that. But we prepared it for market because if you didn't do that, then you would get less in your sale. So there's something you can do about your pit. All right. Realize that you're there. Quit lying to yourself. Amen? Amen. What they tell you in AA and any type of drug counseling, you got to first acknowledge that you got a problem. Right. If you don't acknowledge that you got a problem, you're not going to get out of it. Right. And so it says, we confess that we had this problem and that we were powerless. Powerless. We didn't have the energy or the willpower to overcome it. When you start acknowledging, when you come to the reality that this is where I am, that's why I come to church. Amen. I come to church not to brag about God. Lord, this is where I am. Don't you ever think that when Coleman preached the sermon that he doesn't taste of it himself. Amen. People say, well, that sermon is for you. I point the finger at me because every sermon got something in there for me. Do I have any witnesses? So acknowledge where you are. Acknowledge what you need. Acknowledge the situation that you're in. I wish you would look at the word horrible. Horrible. Not only is it terrifying, but it's something that you don't have any strength to deal with. But look at what he says. He brought me out. He brought me out. God guarantees his deliverance. He guarantees his deliverance. Before he sent Moses into Egypt to get the folks out, he told Moses, you're going to deliver them. Amen. God never makes a promise that he doesn't make good on. Amen. The reality of the pit. But then there are the resources while you're in the pit. And some folks, while we're looking to get out, you never realize what's in there with you. Wow, you saying, hurry up and get me out of this. And see, if you don't learn from the resources that's in the pit, next time you get in one, you're going to be terrorized. Oh, here we go again. No, this one's brand new. It might look like it's the same, but this is a brand new pit right here. Look at somebody say, this is a brand new pit. Amen. You don't go through the same situation. This is a brand new pit. And you got to look at it that way. Because every time you walk into a situation, your loving and kind God, who's more concerned about you developing than about you being in pain.
That's right.
When you start recognizing that sometimes God will allow you to stumble. Yes. You know, well, our big problem in the country, we used to love playing the road. Got more whippings. From playing in the road. And the reason being, you know, I was born in Charlotte County. And the folks in Charlotte County, they didn't drive slow. It was either fast or stop. I got a cousin from Charlotte County. So, yeah, man, my Uncle Boo, he tied a road up. If you didn't get out of the way. And so they were concerned about our danger. But they also corrected us. And sometimes God sends these situations in our life to correct us. Amen. To let us know that there is a disciplined side of God. Amen. Do I have any witnesses? Amen. Well, I need the Lord to bless me. No, you need the Lord to discipline you. Amen. You keep on stepping in the same pit. What was there last year, and yeah, it's about February now. Yeah, and you said to yourself in your New Year's resolution, I ain't ever going to do that again, and you back in the pit today. Seemed to me you would have learned in 2017 or prior to that. But there are resources. There are things that God can do in you. Did you not know that your best prayers will come when you're hurting? Your best prayers. Because when you get to crying, you ain't playing. When you start crying out to God, you're not playing. You're saying, God, this is for real. Anybody, you know, and they say men don't like to cry. We don't like to cry, but amen. Real men do cry. Some of y'all look at some of these men and say, real men do cry. Talking about something got in my eye. No, yeah. Your problem got in your eye. Look at what the verse says. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. If God doesn't do anything else, he'll come down to your pit and let you know that everything is going to be all right. So it's not an issue of, do I get out of the pit? If the Lord is with me, the pit is no longer a pit. Because it's a better place now that God is with me. Yeah, if the Lord be with you, he's more than the world against you. I got to move on. I wish I had more time to deal with this one. And if you stay over till 11, I'll deal with it. All right. But let's move. Then the redemption from the pit. Now, don't claim redemption if you don't know, if you haven't learned anything while you're in the pit. If you haven't learned that you can trust the Lord, but you can't trust some people. Oh, that's a bad one. That's a bad one there. That's a bad one, Red. Yeah. Our problem is that we trust folk too much and we trust God too less. Well, so-and-so gonna help me. Now, I want to tell you something. Your mother and your father, they love you dearly, but there's certain things that they can't do for you. You need to learn that early on. Amen. Because the psalmist said, if my mother and my father forsake me, then what? The Lord will pick me up. And here's what God will do. He brought me up also out of the horrible pit. Notice this, out of the miry clay. Out of the miry clay. Now, some of you that's not from the country, you need to understand that when the pit is there, it's also usually damp. And because it's damp, it's slippery. That's right. And because it's slippery, there's water down in it. So not only do you get in the pit, you get stuck. You ever seen people that it looks like that they're stuck? Every year they're talking the same conversation. Their testimony is usually what they're in rather than where they're going. I'm helping somebody. You will never get out of that until you start realizing God's deliverance. God's not going to leave you in the condition that he found you. He might find you in the hog pen, but he's not going to leave you in the hog pen. Am I making sense? It says, he set my feet, look at this, upon a rock. And that's not just any rock. That's the rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. And he has established my going. Now, I want you to do something here. I want you to do something. I want you to do a before and after. Remember where you were before you met the Lord. Now, look at where you are now. You may not be where you want to be, But thank God you're not where you... Am I talking to somebody? You're progressing now because God has taken you up out of that and has brought you to a place where now you're established. Now, it's one thing for God just to take you out of it and say, okay, you're out of trouble. But this God is so loving and so kind that what he does, he prepares a better way for you. He begins to show you that this is the way, and then God, through the Holy Spirit, will talk you along. God will talk you along. So then now don't remember where you messed up last week and how you did this. Now, I want you to walk in this path. I want you to go in this direction. That's God leading you. That's him directing you. So we look at it, and we see the reality of the pit. Acknowledge where you are. We look at the resources in the pit. God will be with you. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But then the redemption from the pit. God will bring you out. Amen. Now, y'all just kind of sitting there learning, right? But let me tell you something. You need to make sure that you meet God while you're there. Three things I want to give you very quickly. Number one, God knows. Lord don't know what I'm going through. He knows. He's the omnipotent, the omniscient. Not only is he all powerful, but he knows everything. And he is the omnipresent God. He's everywhere at all the time. Don't ask me to explain it because I cannot explain it, but I can tell you that it's a reality. I can't see God, but I know he's there. I know that he's there because he made a promise, and God is all powerful. All power is in his hand. So he knows about your pit. He knows about your situation. He knows exactly what you're going through. And I wish you would at this time say, I'm not going to have a pity party because God knows. Say it again. Say it to yourself so you can hear it. I'm not going to have a pity party. I'm playing with the word pit. Because God knows. You can start singing while you're in the pit. Amen. Paul and Silas, when they're in the pit at Philippi, we look at the jail as being this nice, comfortable place where they got a TV. No, they were in a pit. They were in a dungeon. All right? And they started singing. Paul and Silas started singing because they knew that God was real. And they knew that God... And it says the prisoners heard them. Watch this. Joseph... Remember the guy that got thrown into the pit by his brothers? And he cried from the pit, but his brothers didn't pay any attention to him? Guess what? When he got to Egypt, he got thrown into another pit. That's right. That's right. When Potiphar's wife lied on him, thrown into a pit. He didn't have a pity party because the Lord was with him while he was in the pit. Say this with me. God knows.
God knows.
God knows. Second thing is God moves. You serve a God who is active. You serve a God who is constantly working on our behalf. You can't see him, but you can know him. Someone said, when you can't see his hand, trust his heart. God is moving. God is moving on your behalf. God is doing great things so that you can not only come out of the pit, but come out with a testimony. Come out with a testimony. Then the last thing, God provides. God provides. Some of you have been going through circumstances for years. Amen. People that have to deal with cancer and other illnesses, so you have to go through it for years. Therapy treatment after therapy treatment, day after day, constantly dealing with that situation. But let me tell you something. God provides for you.
Yes, he does.
God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you.
Amen.
And if you're looking at suffering, if you're thinking about suffering, Jesus suffered more than anyone. Died on a cross, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. You can lift your head up and say, yeah, I got to go through this, but thank God I'm not alone. God didn't bring me this far to leave me now. That's the encouragement that we have because we are God's people. God knows, God moves, and God provides. And let me tell you something about these pits and about the testimony before I close here. That when you start recognizing that there's a better side to it, that once you get out of that, see, the sad thing is that when you get out of the pit, that's all you can talk about. I rode a roller coaster one time. And when I rode that roller coaster, I was talking to myself. And Tony, I told myself, if I ever get off this thing, I ain't ever getting on a roller coaster again. I don't talk about roller coasters except what I'm saying right now. I had such a bad experience. But there was life after the roller coaster. There was a way after I had been through that, and I said, you know what? My life is going to go on. If I ever come off this thing alive, I thought I was going to die, Tyler. Man, that thing was going up, down, backwards, over, and flipping me everywhere. I said, I'm just going to hold on. If I ever get out of this, all right. You ain't got to worry about it. Right. People say, come on, right? No, I ain't right. No. What has he done? He has put a new song in my mouth. And praise unto our God. Many, and notice he's not only testifying to God, he's testifying about God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. God put you through that circumstance so that now you could have a testimony telling others about the goodness of God. So, preacher, how does that work? Let me tell you about this guy, Benaiah. His name means God built. Yah builds, or built by God. 1 Chronicles 11:22, you read his biography. That first of all, he slew two lion-like men of Moab. These lion-like men, they looked ferocious. And Benaiah went up to these men and slew them. But what captured my mind, Al, is that this comment was made about him. He went down and slew a lion in a pit on a snowy day. Benaiah, Brenda, went down and slew a lion in a pit, Doris, on a snowy day. Now, I can get the fact that he slew a lion, but I'm thinking about where he slew the lion. It was in a pit. And what were the conditions or the environmental circumstances or what we might call the weather forecast? It was snowing. Now, if you all don't know anything else, the last place that you want to be is in a pit on a snowy day. Are y'all seeing that? Are y'all seeing that? This man went down, David, into the pit. He went down into the pit on a snowy day to slay a lion. And he killed him. Now, I don't know what that lion did. But Benaiah said, I've had enough. Yes, it's snowing. Yes, he's in the pit. But I'm going down there. Now, I want you to notice something. This man had a relationship with God. So rather than running away from his fears, he faced the very thing that probably could have destroyed his life. He went down, and there was the lion looking at Benaiah. And there was Benaiah looking at the lion. The lion growled, and Benaiah said, you know what? That doesn't scare me because I know somebody else. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Now notice, this is his testimony. I went down into a pit on a snowy day. If you notice anything about a pit, try coming up out one when it's snowing. You're going to slip and you're going to slide. But when God is keeping your feet, when the Lord is directing your path, you won't fall down. And you won't give up. The lion growled, but Benaiah said, I got something greater than that. Greater is God. The Lord didn't bring me this far to leave me now. Slew a lion in a pit on a snowy day. Now, if you think that's bad, let me tell you about this man called Jesus. This man went down into a pit. And on the third day, he came out with all power in his hand, conquered death, the grave, and more importantly, conquered your sin. Thank God for Jesus. Now, if any man be in Christ, You ought not be scared of your pit, because you can go down into the pit and come out with the victory in Jesus' name. As a matter of fact, some of you just come out of a pit because the Lord grabbed hold of you and the Lord said, we're getting out of this. We're going to move further than this. And guess what? You're up out of the pit now because the Lord made a way out of no way. Give the Lord a hand clap. I got to quit preaching because it's time to serve communion. But I'm telling you, when you've got God on your side, ain't no pit going to keep you or hold you down. Lift your hands up and praise him today because he is real. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord. I was in a horrible pit, but you brought me out. Lord, I was in a mess, but you brought me out and you gave me the victory in Jesus' name. And Lord, I came out with a testimony that God is good, that the Lord is faithful. God will not leave you in the condition where he finds you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. In Jesus' name. Amen. I tell you what, I could keep on preaching, but I got to stop. That's your testimony. We want to extend the invitation. If there be one today and perhaps you've given up hope, you've said to yourself, you know what? I'm in this. I'm going to stay here. Please don't do that. If you don't do anything else, go back and read that passage. Look at the loving kindness of God. Look at the mercy of God. And if God did that for the psalmist, if he was with Benaiah, he'll be with you. He'll bring you out of that pit. Please don't stay there. And more importantly, don't let the pit get in you. You keep your head up and know that God is good. I'm going to ask everyone to stand. Invitation is given. Whosoever will, let him come. Will there be one today? We're going to get ready for our offering as we prepare our hearts to give. We're so thankful that the Lord has blessed us with resources that we can return to him in thanks and bless him through the offerings that we present. We're going to ask the officers to come forward at this time.
Good morning, church. Shall we pray? Gracious Father, we come as humble as we know how. We want to thank you, Father, for watching over us all night long, touched us with the finger of love, and woke us up to a brand new day. You gave us a mind to come to the house of worship, and we thank you, Father. Father, we ask you to please and kind remember the sick in a special manner. Remember those, Father, that is less fortunate than we are. Remember those in the nursing home, those on the battlefield. Ask you to throw around them your mighty arms of protection, shield them from all hurt, harm, and danger. Bless the digging brothers in a special manner. Bless our pastor, Father. Fill him with the Holy Spirit that he'll preach your word to dying men and women. Father, now we want to thank you for giving us health and strength. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to have something to give back to thee. Father, continue to go with us throughout this day, and whatever we do or say will be pleasing unto you. These and all other blessings we ask in Jesus' precious name. For his sake we pray. Amen. Thank you.
got a couple of announcements before we share in our communion. First of all, today is the last day for you to bring items to for the food drive. Our youth are of the church, youth department, they're preparing to give to Blue Ridge Food Bank. So they're going to be contributing to that, and we'd like to get 1,000 pounds of food. Now, here's the deal. Here's the deal. Rod, when are they going to take it down? Is it tomorrow or Kim? So Wednesday. Okay, thank you, Kim. So we're going to have through the first Sunday in March. Okay, so you got one more Sunday. One more Sunday. Now here's the deal. Here's the deal. Don't go through the stuff that you haven't eaten at home. That's probably expired. While you're going through the grocery store, things that you would normally eat, no glass items, but if there's cereal, if it's canned goods, canned meats, vegetables, those types of things, packaged foods, peanut butter, that's a good one. Peanut butter is a good one. Please pick those things up and bring those back. We would like to get 1,000 pounds of food, and you've got until next Sunday to do that, 1,000 pounds. I don't know how much we got, but I did see that a couple of them are getting close to the top. Let's run them over, amen? We're going to do Psalm 23. Cup runs over, we're going to run those baskets over, amen? So let's do